Good morning. I've been listening to some of Brother Mike's tapes this week, and on one of them he said to meditate in the Word. So I've been, I'm just kidding, Brother Mike. But I thought they'd get a rise out of him, see, so. No, I think what he said was that when you meditate the Word is you read and then you think. You read and then you think. And that's really that I grabbed a hold of that. It's really done me good this week because I've read all week and I've thought all week. I think God has shown me a couple of things I've never seen before just by thinking and reading and thinking and reading. I'd encourage you to do that if you've never done that. Read the Word and then just think on it. And I begin to tie some scriptures together back, and amen, it just kind of fits when you think on the Word of God. If you've got your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 10. The book of Exodus chapter 10. I don't normally title a message, but I just had this on my heart all week, and I want to title this one, The Better Place. The Better Place. I want to try to encourage you this morning because I think sometimes Christian people need encouragement. I remember when I was down, I still get that way from time to time. But I think sometimes we need encouraged. There's encouragement in the Word of God. There's judgment in the Word of God, but there's also encouragement. I think sometimes we need that, and I hope this morning I can be an encourager to you this morning. I want to reverence the Word of God, so if you'll stand this morning before we read, I'd like to read a couple of verses, two or three verses, to get a theme for the message. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw no man, neither rose any man from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I want to stop right there, and I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again this morning, God, we come to you, Father, again in the precious name of Jesus. God, we thank you for Him. And Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning that's encouraged us even this week. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that one day we have a better place. God, that we can look to, and not the things of this world, not the things of this life. But God, I'm thankful that we have a better place. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word this morning that's encouraged us this week and helped us, Lord, to see things, God, that we've never seen before. So, God, help us this morning to be able to say things that might mean life to those that listen. And, Father, if there be one here this morning that knows you're not in the free pardon of sin, God, that's never been saved, God, help them this morning to realize the need of salvation. Guide and bless us in the Word, and, Lord, we'll be careful to praise you. We'll be careful to give you thanks, give you glory. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. When I've studied this week, I've noticed that, and I've pastored some, several years I've pastored. I've been preaching about 20 years, but I've noticed probably this last year that I've not pastored. I've just been to a lot of different churches, and I thank God for that. But I've noticed some things in different churches that Christian people, or I say they're Christians, I assume they are. But I've noticed that it seems like that they like darkness more than light. I mean, to me, that's confusing because Christian people, I would think, would like to be around the light. I notice here in this passage here that it said that there was darkness for 3 days. And did you notice the wording? That's what I want to try to preach today is some of the wording of the King James Bible. If you notice in the scripture that there was darkness, and the scripture says it was so dark that I believe you probably couldn't see your hand. It's a thick black darkness, and it says that you really couldn't see anything. And for 3 days, they lived in it. I thought that was unique because they never chose to get up or get out of it, but they chose, the scripture says that there was darkness for 3 days and no one moved out of their place for 3 days. They chose to just live there in the darkness. There's a better place than darkness, and it's always where the light's at. Amen. And I noticed that also in the scripture that it said, but the children of Israel had light. So while there was darkness over here, there was light over here. You see, I think that's been since the beginning of time, even since Adam and Eve. We've always had a choice. You can either live in darkness or you can live in the light. And I think that a lot of Christian people that I've seen over this past year, I like to watch people. I just love to watch people. And I've noticed that they would rather be in darkness or the things of the world. They get a kick out of things of the world. Or they're encouraged by the things of the world. But when the light begins to shine, they begin to move. And I believe Jesus said, matter of fact, the light's been taught in Sunday school this morning, been taught all over this morning about the light. I think that Jesus even said that it's because men's deeds were evil. They would rather lack darkness rather than the light, because if the light would shine, it reproved them.
That's right.
And people don't like that.
Right.
And I'm going to say Christian people don't like that. And you know why I know that? I want to preach a little bit about Moses. Moses is one of my, he's not my favorite, but he's one of my favorite characters of the Bible, Moses. I've been reading all week and studying about Moses. And I think Moses ties into this message, because he's the one that God spoke to and said, stretch forth your hand toward heaven, cause the darkness to come. But the people wouldn't come out of that. They chose to stay. Keep that in your heart and your mind as the message goes through this morning. But I want to go back to the beginning, back when Moses was 40 years old, and the scripture says he went to the desert. And 40 years later, now Moses is 80. God begins to deal with him. I've heard old preachers say that it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses. I don't know if that's right. But I know he was 80 when God spoke to him. And the scripture says that Moses was on the backside of the desert, and all of a sudden this bush began to burn. And scientists say that that's very common in that time, that a bush would just ignite and burn, go out. But this one just kept burning. Did you know that the light sometimes will get our attention?
Amen.
And you'll choose, and probably this day, you'll choose whether to be encouraged or go toward the light, or you'll just stay where the darkness is. But Moses, the scripture says over there in Exodus 3, I believe, that Moses, when he seen the light and it wouldn't go out, and Moses says, I'm going to turn now and I'm going to go see this thing, why the bush continued to burn. And the Bible says when God seen that Moses turned, then he spoke to him.
Amen.
You know why people's not really being spoken to? Because they won't turn toward the light. They would rather stay in the darkness, and they would rather live in darkness and say it's okay and justify their life and justify the way they're living, the things they're saying. They would rather live that way and say it's okay rather than be reproved or go see what it's all about and then experience the light.
Right.
And I think that's why God spoke to Moses, because he wanted to experience that. Now, Moses was a great man of God. He did many great things for God in the Scripture, and there's no possible way that I could even cover a lot of them, but I'm going to cover a few of them, the experiences that Moses had with God. And as Moses began to visit God, one particular time, the Scripture says that Moses says, God, I just want to see your face. I want to, God, you know my name, and God, if that's true, I want to see your face. Have you ever been to that point to where you just want to feel that closeness, Brother Mike? To,
yeah.
I know I have. And Moses began to talk with God, and God says, Moses, I'm going to do this thing, but he says, I can't let you see my face, because he said, no man's ever seen my face and lived. So he said, Moses, I'm going to put you in a place. Brother Mike, I'm still looking for that place.
Amen.
You say, I don't think a lot of people's looking for the place. I think they're just looking. But Moses said, or God said, Moses, I'm going to put you in a place. I've got a place, and I'm going to put you in that rock. And he said, I'm going to put my hand over the rock. And he said, as I pass by, he said, I'll let you see my hind parts, my back parts. And he said, as I pass by, he said, I'll let you see my glory. I never found another place in Scripture where you see, it was enough. The presence of God was enough. I never found another. I read a whole bunch of the Bible. I never found another place where God, where Moses asked God, God, I just want to see your face. You see, I think it was enough. What God gave him was enough to pacify or to satisfy Moses. I think it's what we Christian people need to be looking for is that place and be satisfied with the light. You know, I think Satan sometimes will discourage the Christian. And I know this past year, Brother Mike, I'm so free.
Amen.
I'm so free. And I love people. And I love sheep. And I love to pastor sheep. But I've been so free this year that, I mean, I can preach things that God lays on my heart, and I don't have to worry. This whole year, I've not had to worry about people and their problems and their things. I just had to worry about me and studying the Bible. I'm so free. I'm not saying I'll never go back to pastor. I probably would like to sometime, but right now, today, I'm just free. But this past year, even being as free as I am, Satan has tried to discourage me and tried to get me to believe that God's not close to you.
Yeah.
I mean, probably you're not saved, and God's not close to you. I mean, that's what Satan's been applying to my thoughts and trying to bring me down or press me down to where I can't maneuver or can't. I don't have the ability or the strength or the encouragement or whatever to read and study the Bible. Well, that's Brother Brady. I'm going to go ahead and do that, Brother Brady. Peter, you remember the scripture? Do you remember the scripture over there in the New Testament where Jesus was walking on the water? And as Jesus was walking on the water, the scripture says that that all of a sudden they looked and seen him. They thought he was a spirit. And Jesus said, here's what Peter said. He said, Lord, he said, if it's you, bid that I should walk. I'm using some theology. I don't have it, but I'm using some theology because when Peter said, Lord, if it be thou you, bid that I should walk, Jesus didn't have a choice.
Amen.
It was him. And when he came walking on the water, didn't he? No, wait. Because I don't think Jesus was right there next to the boat. For a minute, I think he could have the boat if he needed to. But all of a sudden, he began to walk out on the water. I don't know how far. It doesn't say the feet. But he began to walk out on the water. And as he began to walk, he began to notice some things.
Yeah.
Not what he was... should have noticed, as we do, but he began to notice that the wind was wild, and the waves were wild. He began to hear the wind and see the wind and see the waves. Do you know what the first thing happens when you lose faith? Did you know how he walked anyway? He had to have some faith to do that. And did you know that when he began to walk, did you know what the first thing happens when you lose your faith? Anybody know that? What the first thing comes is? It's fear.
Wow, that's good.
You know why I know that? You know why? Yeah, I've been there. When you lose your faith, the first thing Satan brings to your thought, to your mind, is a fear. And as he began to sink, now, there's no way I'm going to use Brother Mike because he's my buddy. But you know how fast I'd sink.
Amen.
Yeah. Now the amen's coming. It's like a rock. So
right.
I think the Bible's literal. Now listen right to the wording. And as Peter begins to walk, and all of a sudden he notices everything, and he begins to sink. How fast do you think he's going to sink? Fast. And what did he say? Lord, save me.
Amen.
Lift your hand out there, brother. You know what happened? The Bible says immediately.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Immediately. I don't know how far out Jesus was, but I know immediately he was there.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. You see, I think Satan's trying his very best in these last days to make you believe that God's not even real. God, he's not close to you.
Yeah. Amen.
He's not available. He's not there when you call. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I promise you, he's there immediately.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. Matter of fact, John 3:16, one of the scriptures that I learned in Bible school in 17, says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world," because we was already condemned, "but the world through Him we might be saved." So you see, God loves us. But sometimes Satan throws the problems that Brother Mike was teaching about, the fire that's going to come to you, and the problems that's going to come to you. Listen, that's the normal life. I've learned that this last year. If I ain't learned anything else, I've learned that's the normal for a Christian, is have some problems.
Yeah.
I heard an old saint one time say this. Or I heard a guy say, this old saint said this, "If the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it."
Good.
If the mountain was smooth, it takes the roughness of the mountain to be able to climb. If you're not having some problems, you're never going to reach the top where God wants you at, where the light's at, shining. Mountain was smooth, you'd never climb. You'd never be able to climb. You see, the Scripture says in Isaiah 59:1, "Behold, the Lord, His hand is not too short that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear." God's right there, I promise you, waiting for you.
Amen.
I promise you. There's a better place than the things of this life. There's a lot better place. Moses, he thought on those things, and I was at a little church here three weeks ago, a little country church, and before the service, this lady was kind of asking me some questions. I didn't really have time to answer her before the meeting started or for the service started. But so when I got in the pulpit, I said, just for a few minutes, I want to say some things that's not pertaining to the message. But I'm here to help you. I promise you, that's all I'm here this morning. I've come to help Brother Mike. I come to help you, if I can help you. But I want to help you in the Word of God, because the Word of God is what's going to help you anyway, is the Word. And this lady said, she said, I don't understand some of the things that happens. And I'm a listener. I listen. And she said, "I don't understand things that happen." And she said, "I'm not questioning God, but I don't understand some things, why these things happen." And I took her to 1 Corinthians 3, or 13. I borrowed this glass. I'll put it back. I promise, guys. I borrowed it. And here's what the Apostle Paul said, and here's what I said to her. The Apostle Paul said that right now, you see, I can see you, but not real clear.
That's good.
He said, right now we look through a glass darkly.
Yeah.
And I can see you. Actually, I wish I could have got a glass, but this plastic, I swear I'd drop it. The plastic one, I can't see as good as I could through a glass one. But I can see you enough. And that's when my faith kicks in. I can see you enough. And I told her, I said, and not just her, I told the church, I said, I hope this will help you, because right now, the things that happen in this life, we're looking through a glass darkly. But Paul said, then, later, he said, face to face. And here's what I told her. I said, I believe this with all my heart. I just believe this. I think when I get to heaven, because there's some things that I haven't really questioned God, but there's some things that I don't fully understand why. Why my sister died at 37. So matter of fact, I never questioned God. 37, beautiful. My daughter reminds me a lot of my sister. Beautiful. But here's what I told her. I said, when I get to heaven, right now I'm looking through the glass darkly. It's enough. But then when I'm there face to face, I believe with all my heart, I'm going to say, that's why that happened. That's why that happened. Now I know why it happened. And I seen a smile come on her face. You see, the Scripture is right for us if we'll just understand and believe what the Scripture said. Right now, I'm not going to understand, and neither are you, everything. But we're going to see and understand enough, and if we'll just go back to the old book and read the book, it'll be enough to keep our faith.
Amen.
And we can keep walking on the water enough till we can get there and get the full understanding. You see, I want to see God face to face. I do. But right now, I can't see Him face to face. Moses desired to see the face of God. But God said, Moses, no man's ever seen my face and lived. So I thought of Enoch. And I began to read a little bit about that. There's not much to read about him. But when I began to read that scripture there in the scripture, it said, Enoch, he pleased God. I don't know if this is not Bible, and I'm not adding no Greek or Hebrew or anything to it. But I heard an old preacher say this one time. It's just a good thought. It's not Bible. I can't prove it. Probably never happened. But the old Bible, the old preacher said that God and Enoch was walking one day, and God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Why don't you just come on and go home with me? And God took him.
Amen.
The Bible does say that. God took him. You see, I think Moses loved the things of God. I think that's why God chose him and why God used him. I want to correct something that I've heard all my life. And listen close for the rest of the message, because this is really what my heart is. Moses began, he made some mistakes. Well, Mike, I've made a few. I look back and say, poor God, I'm not better than my fathers.
Right.
I love Elijah, by the way. And Moses made some mistakes, and God knew that. And I know when Moses struck the rock, and God said, Moses, speak to it. And Moses got angry at the people. Well, I've done that. I don't dislike them or hate them, but I've got angry. You know why Moses got angry? Because they wouldn't follow God. They wouldn't follow Him. And so he got angry at them. And Moses struck the rock, and God was faithful and let the water come forth anyway. So Moses gets over there, and he goes through all the rest of Exodus, and he goes through all the rest of Numbers, and he goes through all the rest of Deuteronomy, doing things for God, finishing the law, doing all the law things, all the stuff. And I've heard this all my life, and I think I want to correct it this morning. Moses gets over there on the other side, and And they've said, old preachers have said in messages that God punished them. He wouldn't let him go over on the other side to the promised land. God punished him, so he killed him. I don't believe that. He died. He died. I don't believe that. I want to show you that this morning. You see, Moses, I believe this. Now, I'm going to paraphrase some things, and I hope it's okay, Brother Black. I'm going to paraphrase some things. Moses got through all of the rest of Numbers, or Exodus. He got through all of Numbers, and he got through the book of Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter, and God took him up on the mount, and God says, Moses, I'm going to show you all the things that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here they are. Here's the promised land. And he showed it to him. And I think God met him there. And I think God said this: Moses, you remember back over there early in Exodus where you wanted to see my face?
Yep.
Moses said, yeah. And he said, Moses, you remember I told you that no man's ever seen my face and lived? Moses said, yeah. Well, here I am. Here's what I want to correct. There's a better place. You thought it was a promised land here, didn't you?
Right.
And Moses thought it was a promised land here. The things here, this life. He said, Moses, I'm going to show you. Here's what they're going to get. And here's what you're going
to
get.
Listen to that. That's good preaching. Amen.
I'm telling you, there's a better place than this life. And there's a better place than the things of this world if we'll just listen to the Word of God. I've got this family of mine that I love. I've got five kids and we got nine grandkids. Ten. Nine, yeah. We've got one in the oven. An incubator. I'll soon have 10. But the love of my life sits right over here. My wife, Kathy.
Amen.
She's the love of my life. And I don't know what I'd do without her. I never, ever want to lose her.
Amen.
A lot of times when I go preach, you say, well, John, go on. I don't want to preach without you.
Right.
I want you to be there by me.
Amen.
A lot of times when Jason was sick and I'd go have to preach, there was something digging in my heart the whole time I was preaching because she was off with Jason, his sick. But I've got strict orders. Kathy knows exactly what I'm going to preach at this point on. I've got strict orders. You see, she said, John, if I die before you, preach my funeral. Brother Mike, I know what I'm going to preach, and that's one message. I love to preach. And that's one message I don't want to ever preach. I don't want to ever lose her.
Right.
She said, you put that fork in my hand. And I'm in the casket. I says, you listen, because this is what's going to have to happen. You put that fork in my hand, and I'm laying in the casket. And I know what people's going to say. Boy, she loved to eat. I could go somewhere with that, couldn't I? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But they'll say, wonder why that fork's in her hand. You ever been to a restaurant or a gathering and they'll say, how'd you like the meal? It's good. Save your fork because the best is last.
Amen.
Amen. As Brother Derek says, you ain't hearing me. You see, the things of this life, we've got everything built up in the things of this life. I'm telling you, there's a better place. It's not even what God is showing you now. It's not even the blessing
Amen.
That God's giving you now. But what we've got is over eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God hath in store for us.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, it's a blessing for us Christian people. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
But you see, the Scripture said, Jesus said Himself, that men love darkness rather than the light because why they loved it. He said, because their deeds were evil. And if the light would come on the scene, He said, it would reprove them or it would change them. They would have to make a decision and change. I found that in this last days in a lot of churches that I go, when I go preach, I'm telling you one thing, Brother Mike, and he knows this, you can see a lot more up here than you can back there.
Amen.
When you see people squirming, and friend, they do not want to come under the light. They don't even want to see the light.
Amen.
They just want you to preach to them and say, oh, brother, pat them on the shoulder. How good
right.
You're doing. You're going to heaven. And
right.
Friend, I don't know if you're going or not. I know I am.
Amen.
Isn't it time that we... I love that scripture. Matter of fact, I preached that last Sunday night. Isn't it time that judgment must first begin at the house of God?
Right.
Isn't it time that judgment starts at the house of God? Do you know that a lot of people are still watching the church? And why, I have no idea. As wicked as we've gotten these last years. People are still watching the church. What are you going to do? The last year I pastored, gas prices was up and down and soaring and soaring and soaring and soaring. I said, you know something? I made a statement. I don't care if gas goes $5 a gallon. I know where I've got my faith in.
Amen.
And I know where the light's at. And I think God's going to take care of us whether there's darkness all over. You see, there was darkness all over Egypt. But down in Goshen, the light's wrong. They chose to sit there. They chose to not even get up out of the darkness. They chose to live there for 3 days. I choose relatives. You know, every time I go into a room and I flip the light on, you know, that the darkness goes away. But I thought of this week in thinking, did you know if you don't have a bare light bulb, you know all the darkness is not completely gone? I think it matters how bright your light is. Well, when you enter the room. If you died today, you know, this may be the last. Sometimes when I preach, I say, God, I love to preach, but God, let this be the last time. I want to see your face. God, let this be the last time and let me see your face. Let me meet you. Matter of fact, when my sister died, I asked God to take me. I said, God, I'll go. Just kill me. Leave her. And I said, well, wasn't that foolish? Wasn't that foolish? But if you died today, and if this was the last message that you would ever in this life get to respond to, what would you do? I mean, if there's darkness in your life, would you continue just to sit there and live in that? Or would you get up and come and get your needs reproved? You see, when I fell away from the Lord several years ago, an old preacher, I went to church and the Spirit of God just kept digging at me and pricking my heart and speaking to me. And I went to church and I heard a young man, he's not very young now, but Brother Mike Hudson. Man, he was spitting words and spitting fire faster than I could hardly understand him and hear him. But I heard him quote a scripture over in 1 John. He said, if you'll come and confess your sin, and He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I said, God, right there in my spirit, I said, God, I remember when I got saved, I believed you, literally. And God, here I am in a backslidden condition, and I believe now that you'll hear me if I'll step forth. And I come forth, and I began to weep, and I began to say, God, I can't remember everything, but I know you've got everything written down. But the Bible says if I'll confess, you'll forgive. And God, I'm saying I confess. And if you'll just come and cleanse me. You know, when I got up from there, I felt as clean as I did the day I got saved. So I want to say that to you today. If there's been some darkness in your life, you know, if you'll go back up in 1 John, I didn't quote that, but if you'll back up a few verses, it says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Convicted my heart. And I seen a light shining. And I was tarred in the darkness. When I seen the light come on, and it was from up here, and the man of God was quoting the light, and the Word of God, he was quoting the light. And I jumped up out of my seat, God. I said, here I am, God. Would you please forgive me? I promise you, according to the Word of God, if you'll come and confess, I promise you, the Word of God says He'll forgive you. It's not my promise, it's His. Would you come today? As the song leader would come and the pianist would come as they make their way to the front. There's a story that I tell quite often. Before they sang, I'd like to tell it. I don't know if it's truth. It just has fit. There was this little boy, and he was fishing one day, and he fell into the creek, and he began to drown. And there's a gentleman over on the side seeing the little boy in trouble. He was drowning. He reached out and he grabbed him. And he saved his life. And 20 years passed now. And the little boy, he got into the wrong crowd. And if you're not careful, you will. And they robbed a bank and they killed a man. And they got caught. And you always get caught. Sooner or later, you get caught. And the little boy, he stands before this judge. And he noticed, he recognized him. Judge had grade. You know the feeling? Some of you don't, because you know Grecian Formula 44. I'm just teasing you. I'm just messing with you. But he noticed this judge was older, 20 years, but he recognized him. He said, Judge, he said, you remember me? And the judge said, yeah, I remember you. You're the little boy I pulled out of the creek 20 years ago. And he said, Judge, he smiled and said, Judge, you have the power to set me free. And that judge said, real quick and real stern, then, 20 years ago, I was your Savior. Today, I'm your judge. You see, right now, Jesus Christ is your Savior. He will save you. And He will forgive you. But if you wait, there'll come a time that you'll stand before Him and He'll be your judge. He'll take the Word of God and He'll show you. He'll open the book of life and show you're not there. He'll take the Scripture, open up, and He'll, according to the Word of God, bind them hand and foot and cast them into the outer darkness. Would you come today and if there's anything on your heart, would you come today and confess that? Would you, as we stand today? Let's stand, as they say. If you need to come today, whatever it might be, would you come? Would you come today? Come on. Step out. Come. Is there one today that would step out and say, God, I need forgiveness. God, I don't like the darkness, but I love the light. Would you come today and let the light shine through you and on you? Come on, would you come today and just let God have His way with you today? Come on. Let God have His way. Come on. Thank you. Let God mold you. Let God make you. You see, God wants you just how you are. A lot of people try to change themselves, but God wants you just as you are. He'll mold you. He'll make you. He'll show you. Would you come today? Is there another that would be honest? That would be honest and say, God, I don't like the darkness. God, I don't like the darkness. Is there one that would be honest and say, God, I don't like the darkness? Would you step out today and say, God, show me and give me the light? Come on, is there another? Is there another that would come? Would you come today? If God's spoken into your heart, if He spoke to your heart this morning, would you come today? Maybe there's someone in your life that you need to be praying for, Christian. Maybe there's someone in your life, Christian, that you need to be praying for. I'm telling you this, I learned this a long time ago. If I'm not praying, who is praying for? If you're not praying, who? Would you come and stand in their stead? Would you come and stand in the way that they're going? Would you stand in their way today and say, God, help me to help them? Would you come and stand in their way today? Hey, I'm thankful they some men of God and some women of God stood in my way one day. And used to call my name out publicly every Sunday. Pray for John Uter and he'd get saved. Later when they told me, they said, we never knew you'd preach. We just wanted to see you saved. You don't know what God can do. He just needs you to step out and pray for them today. Would you do that today? Would you do that today?
Folks, Pastor Mike here, and sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation, and some people just don't know what that is, and I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming, as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.